I want to preach a message titled Church Force. Church Force. Tell somebody, Church Force. Church Force. Church Force. The force of the church. Church Force. When I say Church Force, I'm talking about you becoming a force. Are you understanding me? I'm talking about you becoming a force, because there's no church because of a building. The only church that exists is the person. So you are the church. The building is just an envelope that contains the people that come together to make the church. But without the people, there's no church. So when I say church force, I'm talking about people force. When I say church force, I'm talking about you force. When I say church force, I'm talking about pastor force. I'm talking about leader force. I'm talking about steward force. I'm talking about chorister force. I'm talking about a Christian force. So I am not talking about the church as a building. I'm talking about the church as you. I'm talking about the church as an organism, not organization. Do you understand? The church is an organization and an organism. But I'm talking about the church as an organism, as a person. And you are that person. So when I say church force, what I'm saying is that you becoming a force. So the question I'm asking myself through this message, what will make the church a force to reckon with? The church is supposed to be a force. The church is supposed to be an army. The church is supposed to be a soldier, a military force. The church is supposed to be a strong front. The church must have strength. The church must have power. The church must have energy. The church must move. The church must make an impact. The church must touch lives. The church must change the community. The church must change people. The church must make advancement. What I'm saying is that the people in the church must make progress. They must make advancement. They must become a force. They must be a force to reckon with. They must not be pushovers. They must not be weaklings. They must not be useless. They must be effective. And they must be strong. And the question I'm asking is that, how can the church or how can the people become strong as the Bible says? How do we become a strong church? How do we become a church that is a force? And I can mention names of churches that have become a force. When they make a declaration, we respond. The Church of Pentecost is a force. When the Church of Pentecost makes a declaration, the nation would hear. During COVID-19, the Church of Pentecost made a declaration. We have a place. We can host everybody who is sick. And they took over. Are you understanding me? The Presbyterian Church is a force. The Catholic Church is a force. Fountain Gate is a force. Are you here? Royal House is a force. Lighthouse Chapel is a force. ICGC is a force. How do we become a force? How does a church move from just being present to becoming relevant? How do you move from just being in existence to becoming a force? How do you move from your family, from being just an ordinary last born, an ordinary second born, an ordinary human being, to becoming the force of the family? How do you move as a Christian to become a force? Ask somebody, do you want to become a force? Tell somebody, you must become a force. So I began to read the Bible a bit, and I saw a few things that I believe that God wants us to know as a church, and I would like to use a few minutes to share it with you on church force. Church force. So what will make the Ruhi Church a force? What will make you a force? What will make the body of Christ a force? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued, I'm reading up to verse 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. 43. And fear. This is where I got the force from. And fear. When you look at verse 42, they were doing certain things. Four different things that they were doing in 42 that brought fear. Fear came upon every soul. Their force from verse 42 fell on people in verse 43. Because of the things that they were doing in 42, 43 happened. 42 is the one that made 43 happen. Without 42, 43 would not have happened. And so without explaining 42, without going into 42, you will not have the force that we are expecting. And fear, if you look at New King James and New Living Translation, it says the awe fell on everybody. So a deep sense of awe, a deep sense of respect, a deep sense of reverence, a deep sense of fear came over all them, over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So a deep sense of awe or a deep sense of fear came over them. A deep sense of fear. Because of what they were doing in 42, a deep sense of fear came upon them. Continue for me. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. 46. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. 47. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. They became a force. You read this particular passage and you see how the book of Acts or the first century church or the first church became a force. They were a force to reckon with. They were touching lives. They were touching the community. They were touching homes. People's lives were being changed. And the Bible says that there was a deep sense of awe that fell on the people because of the things that were happening. So the question was that, what were they doing that brought such a force? What would the Rohit Church do to become a force? What will you do as a Christian to become a force as a Christian? What will you do as a person so that in your prayer life you become a force? In your personal Christian life you become a force? In your house you become a force? In your attitude as a Christian? In your lifestyle as a Christian you become a force? So far we have seen many Christians who have no force. They are forceless. They don't have presence. They don't have impact. They don't make advancement. They have not made progress. They have not pushed anything. They have not overcome anything. They have not surmounted anything. They have not humbled anybody. The enemy has free way into your house. That's whatever he wants. Operates however he wants. And we can't respond because we are forceless. We have no force. We have no force as Christians. We have no force as a church. We have no force as pastors. We have no force as people. We just have no force. So the question is, how do we become a forceful church? How do we become a forceful Christian? How do we become forceful believers? How do we become people who have the force? Who can make an impact? Who can be relevant? Who can touch nations? Go back to 42. The 42 says that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Number one, teaching. The church must be, or the church was, and the church is, the Rohit Church is, a word-based church. Word-based. Word. They operated by the teachings of the apostles. They operated. Everything they did was from the word. They understood the word. They worked with the word. They appreciated the word. They embraced the word. Everything that you see them do was from the word. My question to you, how many things do you do in your life that you pause to ask yourself, which scripture is backing this action? You have no force. Immediately scripture backs your action, there's force. It's like getting a law that backs your move. If the policeman stands there and stops you, the reason why you stop is because there's a law that is a force that is backing his action. If a soldier walks in here and he makes a decree, there's a law that backs his action. If you borrow money from somebody and the person takes you to court because you are not paying, there's a law that backs his action. That is what makes them force. That's what makes the military a force, makes the soldiers a force, makes the police force a force. Now my question, Christian, what makes you a force? Which Bible verse backs your action? You cannot become a force without the word. You cannot become a force without the word. You can't make a certain impact without the word. You can't touch lives without the word. You can't become crazy for God without the word. You can't make advancement without the word. He says, and all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. At the time, the Bible had not been written. So the apostles were teaching what they were taught by their master in 3 years. So the apostles were talking to them about all the things they learned from their master Jesus when he was alive and walking with them. And so the people, the Bible says that these people were devoted to the apostles' word. Today we have the Bible. I came to tell you that if you want to become a force, if the church will become a force, one of the things that we need to stand on is the teachings and the fact that we devote ourselves to the word and to the doctrines of the apostles and to the word of God. You cannot be in this church without knowing scripture. You can't become much in this church without knowing scripture. The Rohi church is a word-based church. It's a Bible-based church. The question you ask for every action that we take is that where is it in the Bible? And I'm talking to them, those coming from the branches and those coming from RCFs. If your leader says something, just ask them politely, please show me where it is in the Bible. Show me where it is in the Bible. If he says, from today, I have to be anointing your eyes, your stomach, your breast, your legs, ask them, man of God, where is it in the Bible? He says, I have to now be lying on you every evening before I deliver the anointing unto you. Ask them, where is it in the Bible that a man of God was lying on an opposite sex every evening to release anointing? No, I want you to become a force. I want you to become a force. There are so many Christians that are not making any impact. So many church members that are not making any impact. You see them, they come to church, they lift up their hands, they dance, they sing, they do everything. When you meet them outside, they are worse than the devil. Worse than the devil. When you see their post on Facebook, you know that the devil has written. When you see their status, you know that this is a manifestation of the water spirit, marine power. Because we don't have the word. We don't have the word. So the church was making a certain level of impact, a certain level of progress, because the Bible says all the believers or all the members devoted themselves to the teaching. They devoted themselves to the word. They devoted themselves to the word. And we have devoted ourselves to the word. That is why we honor God. We honor God because the word says so. We honor our pastors because the word says so. We honor our leaders because the word says so. We pray because the word says so. We preach because the word says so. We do evangelism because the word says so. We do door to door because the word says so. Gathering of souls is because the word says so. Whatever we do is because the word says so. What do you do based on the word? I'm talking about being a force. Being a force. So we believe in honoring God. We believe in honoring those in authority. It's in the Bible. We believe in the salvation by believing in Jesus. It's biblical. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in water baptism. We believe in the anointing with oil. We believe in casting out devils. We believe in deliverance. I'm talking about people who would become a force, people who have become a force, people who can become a force. How do we become a force as a church? Biblical-based teachings, biblical-based actions. So when somebody takes an action against you, check the scriptural base of it. Don't look at what the person is doing. Sometimes we look at the person and we think, oh, the person is so wicked. The person is so difficult. The person doesn't understand. Pastor doesn't understand at all. Pastor is such a difficult person. Pastor doesn't shift at all. He doesn't bend at all. He's so unforgiving. He's not unforgiving. He's scripturally based. If the Bible says so, that is what we work with. So don't think that you go and fornicate and get pregnant and then I'll still allow you to continue holding the microphone to sing. I would have to let you sit down for a while. Are you understanding me? Are you here at all? No, I cannot allow that. It's not because I'm wicked. It's because the Bible doesn't allow it. It's biblical. It's biblical. It's biblical. You can't be a pastor. You can't be a pastor who is always borrowing money from people in the church and messing up the church. And when you borrow, you don't pay. In fact, don't even borrow at all. It's not biblical. Why are they saying that? We are not saying it because pastors are borrowing money. We are saying it because we are talking about being a force. You want to become a force? Biblical business. Biblical business. Every step of the way, every decision you are taking, every move you are making is biblical. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. The Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Preach the word of God. Be prepared. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And then the Bible says, reprove. So if I reprove you, it's biblical. Or if the word reproves you when a pastor is preaching, it's biblical. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The Bible is just saying that preach the word. Preach the word. This is what we believe as a church. We believe in the word because that's what the Acts church did. They believed in the word, they devoted themselves to their doctrine, and by the verse 43, the fear of the church, the fear, the awe, the presence, the reverence of the church came upon the community. It came upon the people. It touched the people. It went across nations. The reason why we are sitting here over 2,000 years after that and still talking about it was because of the four things they did that made them an awe, that made them reverenced, that made them feel, and that made them a force. To become a force that will stand for a very long time, let your decisions be biblical. Let your decisions be biblical. Don't make decisions based on your emotions. I feel a decision based on your emotion that changes every day. At 22, you have fallen in love with 3, 4, 5 different women before you turn 22. That should tell you that your emotion is not stable. So you cannot be making decisions based on your emotion. Today you see, hey, this one, I really like her. I wish, after 3 days, when you see her without her paint, this one, no, I think it's a mistake. It's not a mistake. You are carnal, making decisions based on your emotions. So you will never, never become a force. Every time it changes because your emotion is not stable. Make biblical decisions. Make decisions based on the Bible. What does the Bible say? Christians must become a force. You don't become a force just by walking around. Bible. Number 2, he says fellowship. Same verse 42. Verse 42. Give me the verse 42 again. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. One was the teaching. Number 2 was fellowship. Fellowship. They did not go on their own. They had people with them. Fellowship. To become a force, you don't stand on your own. The church does not stand on its own. That's why I have you, I have you, I have you. To become a force, don't fight to stand alone. I don't want anybody to call me. I don't want anybody to visit me. I don't want anybody to know me. I don't want anybody to relate with me. I am a very quiet person. I'm a very private person. You will die privately. You will be broke privately. You will suffer privately. And you will disappear privately. No, they have put down 4 things for us to do that would help us to become a force. He says that the people they devoted themselves to the teaching of the word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then 2, they enjoyed fellowship. Fellowship. They fellowshipped. They fellowshipped. As you have come to church today, the next time I see you again is next month. So how would you not suffer in silence? How would you not suffer alone? Jesus spent time fellowshipping with his disciples, so they also learned it, and this same with the Acts church. So in the Acts church, apart from teaching and believing in the word, they fellowship with one another. They got to know one another. From today, decide that I want to know 3, 4, 5 more people. Break out of your small circle. Me, myself, and Irene. The 3 of us, we came together and we always work together. Break out of that circle. Find out somebody. Get to know somebody. Reach out to somebody. Cross over to somebody. The person you may be crossing over to is the person who may be marrying you. The person you may be talking to is the one whose son will marry you. It's the one whose friend will be brought in to become your employer. Stop being in your own corner. Fellowship. Support each other. So they supported one another. They visited one another. They checked on one another. They prayed for one another. They shared their problems and successes. They loved one another. There's no fellowship without love. They loved one another. You have been in church for 6 months. Whose house do you know? You have been in church for 3 months. Whose number, apart from your number, do you know? Fellowship. How do you fellowship with somebody whose number you don't have? How do you fellowship with somebody whose house you don't know? How do you fellowship with somebody whose first name you don't know? All you know is, hey, that guy, that slim guy, that guy, what's his name? You are an embarrassment. Because you can never become a force walking alone. You will never become a force walking alone. The church will never become a force standing alone. But the church will become a force working with fellowship. Working with fellowship. So first is teaching. Number two is fellowship. Fellowship. Get to know another person. Cross over to know somebody who is not your friend. Get to know somebody who is not a Ghana Dangwe. Because you come in here and as for me, I'm an Adan, so I like to be with the Adan people. Me, I'm an Ewe man. So I like to have my Nyebros around me. So that we do a Segoma. You know, so. Then the guys, we too, we have our own, you know. All these things, just drop it. Just drop it. Get out of your gang circle. Get out of your fancy circle. Get out of your ochina circle. Fancy funus won't jam one fancy sem. Get out of your fancy circle. Get out of your adangwe circle. Get out of your ewe circle. Get out of your gang circle and fellowship with another person who is not like you. Fellowship. Fellowship. Like today, we have got people from Peaceland coming. We have got people from Newtown coming. We have got people from other places coming. I am waiting to see if after church, you cross over and go and talk to somebody from Newtown. Make a friend. You cross over and find somebody from Peaceland. Make a friend. You cross over from Peaceland and talk to somebody from here. Make a friend. Fellowship. Fellowship. They fellowshiped. They fellowshiped. They fellowshiped. But you are alone. Single, alone, and the enemy is beating you alone. Hunger is beating you alone. Poverty is beating you alone. Your bad dreams are beating you alone. The witches and wizards of your family are beating you alone. Meanwhile, you have brothers and sisters who are around you who can help you to fight, who can help you to stand, who can encourage you to move on. But no, I want to be alone. Me, I'm a very quiet person. No, what I want you to understand is that everybody is a quiet person. Have you seen somebody who is asleep, who is not quiet before? Everybody is a quiet person. Naturally, we are all quiet. But we adapt so that we survive. We adopt certain personalities so we can survive. So break out of your, I'm a quiet person, I don't like talking to people. And open your mouth and talk to somebody. Fellowship. The church of the book of Acts, they were a force because of fellowship. They were strong because of fellowship. Because when I am down, another will be there to lift me up. When I am falling, another will be there to help me. Don't always have an agenda before you fellowship. You don't know who you'll be saving by just walking to somebody's house. Brother, I'm in the area and I'm just checking on you. Brother will be there smoking some marijuana. Sister will be there getting ready to misbehave. Fellowship. Tell somebody fellowship. Fellowship. They visited one another. No divisions. So no divisions. No schisms. No factions. No cliques. No sects. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Let me show you something quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. You speak the same language. You speak the same thing. Don't come here and start speaking Adangwe or Ga or Ewe. Speak the same thing. Speak the same thing. Speak the same thing. Speak the same thing means speak the truth. When I ask this person about this one, what they will tell me should be the same thing I'll hear from you. When I asked you about the church and you say, oh, the church was nice, the service was nice. When you go home and they ask you, it must be the same thing. Hey, sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Speak the same thing and that there be no divisions. Speak the same thing. That means that let us be one. Let us be one. Let us be one. You have come from Newtown, be one. You have come from, what's it called? Peaceland, be one. You have come from number two, be one. You have come from wherever, be one. You have come from wherever you have come from. Just be one. Speak the same thing. Speak the same thing. If here we say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Rich church, loving God, making disciples and invading globally. When you go to your place, speak the same thing. Don't say that Rohi Church, loving our pastor and invading close by. Where is that from? Speak the same thing. So I come to Newtown, I must see the same thing. Peaceland, see the same thing. What's it called? Washington, the same thing. Wherever you pass, the same thing. South Africa, the same thing. Kumasi, the same thing. Turkey, the same thing. America, the same thing. London, the same thing. Hey, hey, hey. Wherever we go, the same language. He says, speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Same thing, no divisions, perfectly joined together. And it doesn't mean that there will be no offenses. Fellowship doesn't mean there will be no offenses. Fellowship doesn't mean nobody will step on your toes. Fellowship does not mean that people will not offend you. Fellowship does not mean that you will not be angry. Fellowship, when you don't you fellowship with your wife? Don't you fellowship with your children? Don't you fellowship with your siblings? Yes, you do. But don't they get you angry sometimes? Yes, they do. They do. But because of fellowship, because of family, because you don't want division, because you are speaking the same language, you stay together. Fellowship. Fellows in a ship together. If you jump out of the ship, you will drown. Stay in the ship together. Let's be fellows in one ship. Fellowship. That you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Verse 11. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. I am preaching this message, and I'm sure some people are sitting down thinking that, why, does pastor know that I'm not talking to this person? Is pastor aware that I had a fight with this one last week? That's why I've changed my position. I'm not sitting by him or by her. Our sisters, are you here? Our sisters, are you here? If the sisters are here, they should say, praise the Lord. They have that grace. It's a talent. It's a gift. It's a gift to just, it's a gift. They just come, they look at the chest. Ah, that's her bag. Yeah? Okay. I say, how they know it's a bag is even a shock to me. It's like they know that by all means today, this person will be using this bag. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There are contentions, there are fights, there are issues among you, and there's nothing that you are doing about it. I came to tell you, whichever contention is among you, break it and start fellowshipping. I said, break it and start fellowshipping. Break it and start fellowshipping. It is one body, one family, one God that we are following. Give me verse 12. I'm getting to something. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Do you realize that the same thing that was happening then is the same thing that goes on now? My best pastor is this one. Me, when this one is talking, that's when I like it. When this one is preaching, that's what I'm like. Go to verse 13. Let me show you the answer to this one. Is Christ divided? Christ now, Mudi Nechino, is he divided? The Christ that you are following, is he divided? Have you cut him into pieces now? Have you shared him into pieces? Have you split him into pieces? Was Paul crucified for you? Was Pastor Mephil crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of any of them? So why then do you keep saying, I am of this one, I prefer this one, I like this one? Fellowship. Fellowship. Completely joined together. Completely joined. Give me 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. So what he's saying is that don't put this thing on me. Don't put this thing on me. I am of this one. I like this one. I prefer this one. I like it when this one is preaching. I don't like it when this one. Look, what will happen as we go as a church, as we grow as a church, what will happen is that Pastor Prosper will be here one day, and then we'll say to Pastor Prosper, can you please move and go and take care of this place so that Pastor Abby will come here, or Pastor William will come here, or Pastor Nesta will come here, or somebody will come here, or Pastor Gerald will move here, or Pastor Coco will move. Are you understanding me? It is going to happen like that. It's going to happen like that. So if you are sitting down, I am of this one, me, I am of that one. So when Pastor Abby moves, and he's going to Turkey. I said Turkey. When Pastor Abby moves to go and start the church in Turkey, as you don't have a passport, what will you do? So just forget about this. I am for this. I am for that. I am for this. I am for that. One fellowship. So avoid the confusion that can happen. That this one, I like this one. I like this one. And the things that people say. And let me also add this one. Till I introduce somebody to you as this is the pastor of this church. He's not a pastor. To avoid confusion. Are you understanding me? To avoid confusion. If I've not introduced somebody to you or to your church or to your branch that this is minister so-so-and-so, deacon so-so-and-so, elder so-so-and-so, pastor so-so-and-so, his brother so-so-and-so or sister so-so-and-so. No confusion. We want the church to be as peaceful as it is, and we want the church to be a force. Immediately we become divided, we break our force. We can't make the impact God wants us to make again. We can't make the advancement God wants us to make again. That's the reason why together we stand, divided we fall. It is not in the Bible, but it's true. Don't go and stand somewhere and say, as the Bible says. Not here. Together we stand, divided we fall. I think it's even in Psalms. Like, hey, careful. Tell somebody, careful. Don't start quoting verses that are not real. Fellowship. That also, I'm not saying that brothers must take that opportunity and fellowship with sisters. No, I have to do a disclaimer. I have to do a disclaimer before somebody says, oh, but pastor said we should fellowship. I've come to fellowship. Fellowship with your brother. And let the sister fellowship with her sister. Are the brothers in the house? Yeah. Fellowship with yourself. There are so many brothers. Fellowship with each other. And let the sisters fellowship with themselves. So I said number one is what? Teaching. Number two. Number three, prayer. Prayer. What will make you a force? I'm talking about the force. The church force. Prayer. Prayer was another clear sign of this church in the book of Acts. And why? It was because they saw Jesus pray. The apostles, who were the apostles? They were the disciples when Jesus was here. When Jesus left, they were the sent ones. They became the apostles. So when they were following their master, they were disciples. When their master left and they were sent, they were now the apostles. So even at the time that Jesus was here, there were times they were referred to as the apostles. There were times they were referred to as the disciples. And most of the things that they are doing now were things that they saw their master do. So they saw their master pray. And their master taught them how to pray. So they came down to also teach the church how to pray. And the church became a praying church. A praying church. A praying church is the church that makes advancement. A praying church is a territory-taking church. A church that doesn't pray doesn't get territories. And I wrote a few things when I was preparing the message. I said that if the church doesn't pray, the vision is aborted. If you don't pray, your vision is aborted. If you don't pray, you abort your vision. You terminate your baby. If you don't pray, your baby is terminated. The reason why your babies are being terminated, your vision, your dream, your expectations, aspirations have all been terminated is because you stop praying. Whenever we call for prayer, it's not the time to say that, okay, serious Christians are going to pray. You are a very embarrassing Christian. And you will never, never, never make progress. And for a very long time, for a very long time, you will not be able to see the vision that God has placed in your heart. Because prayer is what brings the vision to pass. Prayer. If the church doesn't pray, territories are lost. Territories are lost. Whilst you are sleeping, somebody is taking over. Whilst you are sleeping, somebody is taking your church members. Whilst you are sleeping, somebody is taking your children. Whilst you are sleeping, somebody is taking your business. Whilst you are sleeping, you are losing your territory. So, madam, stop sleeping. Officer, stop sleeping. Stop sleeping. They've tied me. Stop sleeping. The sleep is enough. There's endana dorso. You sleep by 8, you are asleep. And you sleep till 5, 6, 7 a.m. And yet, that is the reason why a lot of things are not going the way they must go. You sleep too much. Reduce the sleep. Cut down on the sleep. Cut down on the sleep. The days of sleeping 8 hours is over. Now try and do 4 or 5. And change the things that are going on in your life. The longer you sleep, the more territory you lose. And as you have stopped praying, you have started losing territory. If you were praying, maybe the man that you are going to marry would have been a better man. But because you have stopped praying, the devil has taken hold of the man that should have come and has released a useless photocopy. A useless photocopy that the enemy has released to come and mess up your life for you. Instead of praying, you are sleeping and expecting that God will give you a good wife. The photocopy will come. A photocopy will come. You continue sleeping. The more you sleep, the more territories you lose. And you are losing your territory. You are losing your money. You are losing your business. You are losing your children. And you don't want to wake up. I came to wake somebody up to prayer. I said the church is a praying machine. The church is a prayer center. The church is a prayer home. My house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have turned it into a den of thieves. This is the time that the church must change from the den of thieves to become a house of prayer. We must begin to hear the church praying in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There must be incense being burnt in this assembly hall unto God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you don't change your prayer life, you are not going to change your results. Your results are bad because your prayer life is zero. If the church stops praying, we will lose territory. We'll lose territory. And that's why we are losing territory. By the time you realize, you used to, your business used to make 1,000. By the time you realize it has started making 500, you have lost territory because you have been sleeping. You have been sleeping. I said, I'm talking about a force, the church force, the Christian force. It comes by fellowship. It comes by the word of God. It comes by prayer. Prayer. And the Bible says, pray without ceasing. It means that every morning there must be prayer. Every afternoon there must be prayer. Every evening there must be prayer. At midnight there must be prayer. At dawn there must be prayer. In the morning there must be prayer. Prayer must be going on around the clock. 24/7, you must be praying. You must wake up in the morning. You must be in the church floor. Father, I worship you. I lift up your name. I take territories. I come against every plan of the enemy concerning my life. I rebuke the devil that has touched my family. I rebuke the hand of the enemy. I cut every attack of the enemy. I cut the front of the forces of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, in the evening, you lift up your voice. I thank you that you took me and you brought me back. As I've entered this house, I take territory. I take dominion. I take charge. And as I lift up my voice, I said, you pray. You pray. You stop praying, you lose territory. You don't take territory by the gun. You take territory, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They are mighty through God. They are mighty through prayer, to the pulling down of strongholds. So stop depending on your bodyguards. Stop depending on bow and arrow and begin to get yourself into prayer. A prayerless church, a prayerless Christian will lose territory. I said if the church doesn't pray, the enemy wins. If the church doesn't pray, the enemy wins. The enemy wins. The enemy is winning our marriages. He's winning in our houses. He's winning in our finances. He's winning in our character. He's winning in the community. He's winning everywhere. You go into the community, you set up a church, somebody sets up a disco, and the disco is doing better. The disco is bigger. The disco is flourishing, and the church is dwindling. I came to speak against every disco that has been raised in the community, every drinking bar that has been raised in the community, every pub that has been raised in the community. I speak over your life. You shall dry up. You shall dry up. You shall dry up. And the house of God shall begin to take territory. The house of God shall begin to make advancement. The house of God shall begin to become relevant. We shall become a force by the prayer. A force. A force. Christians have become very, very letter. It's like we have nobody, we have nothing. We don't have any power, we don't have any voice, we don't have any bite, we don't have any bark. We just make noise like rabble rousers, like bulldogs who don't have teeth. And anybody gets up and says any nonsense about anybody. Get up, oh, the pastor Oyeri, may the Lord smite you with leprosy the next time you talk about that pastor. Because there's no power, because there's no force, because there's no prayer, anybody can just say anything. I came to talk about force. We must become forceful. We must carry fire. We must have the force. As a Christian, Christians must have force. Church force. The church must be a force. The church must be a force. The church must be feared. The church must be feared. If you look at verse 43, he says the fear fell on the people. How come they don't fear the church? They come to church to steal. As you are sitting down, you are holding your bag because you don't know who is sitting next to you. We must get to a point where the Ananias and Sapphira anointing will hit the church. When they walk inside to come and steal, the Lord will strike them. And then we come and carry their body. We come and carry their body and set them on fire. We must get to that point where the church becomes forceful, a force to reckon with. You are afraid. You are afraid to touch the church. You are afraid to touch a Christian. You are afraid to touch a Rohite. Rohites, we are getting to a point where we'll be a force to reckon with. People will be afraid of us. They will not talk any nonsense about us. They will not handle you anyhow. They will ask you, which church do you attend? You say, I'm a Rohite. They say, we cannot deal with you in an evil way. They say, I am a Rohite. They say, oh no, you there, we can't touch you. We will just promote you. We will just open doors for you because you are a force to reckon with. As a time that is coming, you are going to be a Christian carrying fire, a Christian carrying a force, a Christian carrying anointing, a Christian that is a force. May the people in your house hear your voice in the night. May they hear your voice at dawn. May they hear your voice in the morning. May they hear your voice in the afternoon. May they hear your voice and may they identify your voice. I need somebody to get to a point where the devil identifies your voice. When you speak, the devil says, ah, he has woken up. There's trouble. The devil must know your voice. The devil must know your voice. The devil must respond to your voice. The enemy must know your voice. Your voice is so silent, even God gets confused when you speak once. When you open your mouth, do you realize how some people, they never call you. You never have their voice on phone. So when they call you and they are saying, Pastor, do you know who is speaking? You're like, who is this one? Is it Mary? Is it Jonah? Is it Job? Is it Noah? Is it Melchizedek? Is it Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, Pastor, it's me, Efia. Oh, is that you? Because we don't hear your voice. Some of you, that's how it is in heaven. When you speak, the angels are wondering, this voice is not familiar. This is a strange voice. We have never heard it before. Put it inside the database and let's see it work. It will take 1 hour. Your name is not coming. Because you see how WhatsApp, the last message that came is the one that comes on top. And then the one that you have not heard from for a long time goes under there. That's what happens in heaven. So your records have gone down so far that even when they put your name up, it takes 1 hour. They will search before you come up. From today, you are going to become a voice that is known in heaven. You are going to become a voice that is known on earth. You are going to become a voice that is known in hell. When you speak, angels will respond. When you speak, heaven will speak back. When you speak, response and answers will come. Make your voice known in heaven. Make your voice known. Don't just walk around. It's like somebody who doesn't have a voice. Even when you come to pray, we are praying. It's like saying ini mani mani mo, ini mani mani mo, ini mani mani mo. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? If the church doesn't pray, lives are lost. Lives are lost. I'm talking about the church praying. I'm talking about the church as a force. If the church doesn't pray, we lose lives. People die. People backslide. People fall away. But I think I want you to get to the point where church becomes a force. If the church doesn't pray, lives are lost. If the church doesn't pray, our faith is in danger. If you don't pray, your children's faith is in danger. Your great-grandchildren's faith is in danger. Look at how bad the world is now. Look at how difficult it is to be a Christian now. Think about what is going to happen in 20 years if we are not praying. Think about what will happen in 30 years if we are not praying. When your child, who is 5 years now, is 35, are you here? Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying as a church. Don't stop praying as a Christian. Don't stop praying as a pastor. Don't stop praying as a family. Don't stop praying as a parent. Don't stop praying as a spouse. You are as powerful as the last prayer you prayed. This one, the Lord gave it to me at this dawn. You are as powerful as the last prayer you prayed. Meaning you can't depend on your last prayer to fight the next battle. Every time you must be praying. Because your power is generated by prayer. So once you stop, whap him. Are you in the church? Pray without ceasing. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not faint. The last one, breaking bread. Breaking bread. So the first thing that made them a force, the first thing that made Acts a force was teaching and devotion to the word of God. The second thing was fellowship. The third was prayer. The fourth, breaking bread. Just sharing food together. That means, Enochere said, they shared all things, especially food. Food was in common. They shared it. I bring my bread. You bring your juice. We share. Today I have garri and sugar. We share. Tomorrow your pizza will come. We'll share. No one was permitted to go to bed on an empty stomach. It was an abomination in that church for somebody to leave the church without knowing what to eat. It's unacceptable for a Rohite. Come to church, you are going home, you don't know what you are going to eat, and you are just going. When you have brothers and sisters and we are fellowshipping, bread should not be a problem. I said bread should not be a problem. We must break bread together. As you are going home, you must call your brother friend. Charlie, make we go house. I get some kenke and fish, make we go share. There must be regular bread breaking or breaking of bread. It was something that was common in Jesus' ministry. Every time you see Jesus, he was breaking bread with his disciple. They were sharing fish. They were catching fish from the sea. They were having banku. They were having bread. They were just breaking bread. They were just eating. And as a church, we must eat. I said we must eat, or you didn't hear that one. We don't only pray, we must also eat. Invite somebody. Christmas time, invite somebody. Let's have a love feast. Let's have communion together. Let's sit together. Share something together. Break some bread. Food was not a problem in the church. Everyone was covered. Look at Isaiah 58 for me. That's the reason why, by the grace of God, Isaiah 58:7. Are you understanding the message? So Isaiah 58:7 says, is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? Is it not to deal your bread or to give your bread to the hungry? And that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house. When you see or when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. This is Christianity. This is Christianity. To give bread to the hungry. This is Christianity. To deal your bread to the hungry. That thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. Bring the poor to the church. Bring the poor home. Take care of the poor. Feed them. Get them something to eat. Warm food. Not dry food that you are throwing away. Let people in the church be blessed. I said, let people in the church be blessed. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. Not that, hey, this girl, her dress is not nice at all. She's either my size or my sister's size. I will organize something for her. When thou seest the naked, cover him. This brother, every day his trousers is so short. Maybe it is not his size. He's been wearing his younger brother's trousers. These days, the trousers that people wear, you wonder if they run out of material. So when you see them, you are wondering, is it that the material was not enough, or is their younger brother's trousers they are wearing? Don't laugh at them. Just get trousers or check the material. Get one extra yard. Come and give it to them, their brother. Just add it. Just add it. Because the Bible says that when you see the naked, cover him. And don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Your own brother. Don't hide yourself from your brother. Don't hide yourself from your sister. Help them. Help them. God has lifted you for such a time as this. Help them. Give them something to eat. Verse 8. Then, if you help them, after you have helped them, then will you become a force. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and your health will spring forth speedily. So there's a blessing that only comes when you help people. It's a blessing that comes when you give food to people, when you clothe people, when you support the poor and you help the needy. It is that blessing I'm talking about. So that church knew it. That church understood it. They knew that if they could help people, they could give them bread to eat. They could break bread and have fellowship together. Our people will be blessed. Ourselves will be blessed. We'll become a force. I came to tell the church, let's begin to fellowship. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to read the word. And let's begin to abide by the word. And let's begin to break bread.